Hello and welcome to We the People. India has become the first country to make CSR spending mandatory through a law. New amendments to the Companies Act have been approved by Parliament to make it impossible for companies to escape CSR or corporate social responsibilities. Under the Act, companies earning profit of over 5 crores, a turnover of 100 crores or net worth of more than 500 crores are required to shell out at least 2% of their 3-year annual average net profit towards CSR activities. Now, under the new laws, any unspent amount of the mandatory 2% profit to be spent on CSR activities will no longer be allowed to be carried forward. It will have to be deposited into an escrow account and be spent within 3 years from the date of its transfer, failing which, it will be put into a fund which could even be the Prime Minister's relief fund. The government also plans to include a special penal provision in the Companies Act in case of non-compliance with CSR, which could include a 3-year jail term for officials and companies that fail to spend corporate social responsibility funds in any given year. Now, the government says this law will force companies, finally, to make a real contribution to India's challenges. It will release much-needed funds for social development, while critics warn of a tick-box mentality. We're asking tonight, will this make corporate India wake up to its wider social responsibility towards narrowing down widening inequality? Or is the CSR law another utopian ideal hijacked by political interference? On the show tonight, we'll have Nitin Pai. He's co-founder and director of the Takshashila Institute, an independent center for research and education in public policy. Harsh Mandar joining us, columnist, social activist. He needs no introduction. He's the author of Looking Away, Inequality, Prejudice and Indifference in New India. Rohini Nilekani, former journalist, writer, philanthropist. She's the co-founder and director of Ek Step, an education non-profit. She's also the founder and chairperson of Argyam, a foundation that strives to provide safe, sustainable water for all. We have Gurcharan Das, author, commentator, former CEO of Procter & Gamble. We have Nena Lal Kidwai, a former HSBC chairperson, former president, Federation of the Indian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, head of India Sanitation Coalition. We have Pushpa Sundar, development specialist, the founder, director of Sampradan, the Indian Center for Philanthropy, Madhuresh Kumar, national convener of the National Alliance of People's Movement in India, and Ashwini Dubey, lawyer, political activist from the BJP. Thank you all. That's quite a panel, but I want to go across first to Rohini. Rohini, thank you for joining us. You've contributed enormous sums to community development from your personal wealth. That's post-tax wealth. But where do you stand on the mandated spending of 2% of a company's profits on CSR as envisaged in this new company's bill?
Thank you very much, Sarah, for having me on the show. I think governments tend to lose a little public trust when something starts out as voluntary and then you see it become more and more mandatory. So I think that's something to really consider when such laws are being framed. I think, secondly, to make something like this mandatory with even jail terms, I think is stretching the idea of giving back too far. It'll just create fear, it'll create more bureaucratic processes in a country and a sector which is already burdened by so many compliance issues. So I don't think that's a good idea, and I think that needs to be rolled back. I think that one thing we can say is that perhaps once if they roll that back, and I do believe that the minister has said they're re-looking at it, so I do hope they do that quickly. I think, however, that looking at a 3-year time frame, Sarah, allows us to do more than just annual, shorter kind of thinking. And perhaps since CSR has to be done now, it might allow companies to take a slightly longer, more patient capital kind of view and actually get more done on the ground, because it's very hard to create real change
in a year, like it was in the past.
Because you thought that
so you can't just throw money at an issue, so you need more time. So that's the positive. It's gone up from 1 year in the past now to 3 years. But, Rohini, what is the distinction between personal philanthropy and CSR? Because the fact is, apart from few examples, of course, you know, Aseem Premji, Kiran Majumdar Shaw, the contribution of India's riches to philanthropic activities has grown at a much slower pace than the increase in their wealth.
Yes. That's true. I think we need to exercise our generosity muscle much more. I think the government has decided to tax the super rich. So I think the tax at 42.7, or if I'm not mistaken, some number like that, is, I think, making people feel even more jittery. So my fear is that personal philanthropy will go down further. So the government needs to really have a longer discussion on that. Taxes on great wealth are fine, but what is the right amount? It should also spur social generosity, is what I feel, especially when governments alone can't solve all problems, and we know that. So we do need philanthropy risk capital. So, but to force companies to do that, I mean, that is not really their core competency. So now all of them have set up their departments and are actually trying to implement change, which is not at all easy. So I think the government needs a bit of rethink on this. Also, one of the ideas would be to, government has a we have made international commitments towards SDGs, etc. Maybe we can ask corporations to align more closely to that kind of thinking, which will allow them to align their businesses also better. So it's not just the money they give outside their fence, but how they look inside the fence to create more sustainable, more equitable businesses, right? So I think what they do inside the fence is really very important, so that they don't create negative externalities outside the fence, which then we all, the government and rest of society, has to deal with. So I think that should really have been the focus, is my personal humble opinion.
Okay, one more question to you, Roni, because you're joining us from Bangalore, and in case we lose the line, does this set a bad precedent? Because Karnataka is now deluged with the floods. The chief minister now yesterday appealed to corporates to donate. He said that state government employees have donated one day's salary, which amounts to 200 crores. But the irony is that Karnataka is still without a cabinet. For a month, the people of Karnataka didn't have a government, while the government and, you know, the opposition party and the government was playing their own political game. So is the government abdicating its responsibility here?
Yeah, I've always said since the beginning that the CSR law is a bit like outsourcing governance, which is supposed to be the mandate of the state. So, and it's not just throwing, even if they gave lots of money, do we have the capacity on the ground to absorb it? That's where investments need to happen. Even if we send so much money for flood relief, will it get to where it needs to go? And will it relieve the hardship of the people? I don't know. So we have to think it through. It's not just about money in this case, especially when it comes to floods and other disasters, which are going to step up. We need to have a multi-year platform and build a lot of trust. We need to build trust between government, the society, and the and companies before just making laws like this, which actually criminalize non-compliance. I think that's really going too far.
Okay, we also need a streamlined structure, is what you're saying. All right. Mr. Das, what would you say here to those and the government who believes that, you know, the companies have a responsibility? They have to give back to those who have made them who they are today.
Well, you know, philanthropy is a wonderful thing. And my initial reaction was that this is a wonderful idea. But then I thought that maybe there's a confusion of roles, that a company is formed to make products. It creates employees, it creates jobs, it then makes profits, it pays taxes, which are used to spend on education, health, roads, flood relief, and so on. But the fact is that the shareholders of a company, you know, you invest in a company because you want a return. And so if you found out that the company is spending your money in running hospitals and schools, you would worry that, look, this is not what I gave the money to the company for. So there's something wrong in the fact that you're asking. Now, on the other hand, individuals, if an individual gave post-tax profits, post-tax income for philanthropy, we would all applaud. And so when Azim Premji gives his 2,000 crores or $2 billion for education, we all applaud. But at the same time, we don't seem to value the fact that what makes it possible for him to give this money is the fact that he creates a very good product. He employs over 100,000 people. He pays a huge amount of taxes. And then, after his taxes are paid, there is spending on philanthropy. So I feel we should not, the real honest philanthropy should be voluntary. It should be by individuals, and it should be called ISR, individual social responsibility, not corporate social responsibility, because that goes against why a company exists. So, but nevertheless,
so a company exists to make profits, and they're responsible only to the
shareholders, etc. I mean, that's the principle. That was the principle. But nevertheless, let me say that I have become a supporter of CSR because I've seen a lot of good work happening. And by the way, I mean, it's not trivial. The reality is they didn't need to bring this criminalization or law because the amount of compliance has been rising quite dramatically. You know, from starting from 60% in the 55% in the first year, 65% in the second year, and 75 and now almost 85% in this fourth year. So automatically companies are doing it.
So then the government was correct in pushing for this.
But the fact is compliance has been growing and you don't need to criminalize an activity.
Okay.
And the other thing is that, you know, we have to be, we are part of the world, and only three countries in the world have a CSR law in the world. And one of them was UK. They even had a minister for CSR. And then they gave it up because it was not working. Now, I do think that one thing which I did not agree with what you and Rohini were saying a few minutes ago, that actually the big story in India is that individual philanthropy has been growing faster than government spending.
Correct, but I said not comparable to how much their wealth is growing. Not that it hasn't been growing compared to government spending.
Wait a minute, Sarah. If you just see the Bain Dasra produce a report every year.
Correct.
On individual philanthropy.
Yes.
It has gone from 2011, it was 6,000 crores. In 2016, which is the last figures I had, it had gone to 45,000 crores. That's even bigger.
Correct. Just as inequality and the difference between the rich and the poor has also increased over
the years. So we should be encouraging individuals, and it's happening. I mean, a new generation of rich people have come up who are giving money and joining up with Bill Gates' idea of giving half your money in your lifetime.
Yes.
So these are the sort of things that we should be encouraging.
Yes,
but
we have
the
two
idea
Indians on that list.
That you could go to jail for not doing good.
Correct.
I mean, the idea of philanthropy is doing good. And even Yudhishthir in the Mahabharata would be very bizarre struck if he knew that somebody would go to jail for not doing his dharma.
So you can't force anyone to give. But Harshwandar, you were disagreeing when Ms. Das said that a company's sole aim is to make profits, and it is responsible only to the shareholders, or primarily to the shareholders.
No, I actually have quite a discordant position on many things with Kushan. I believe, for me, corporate social responsibility is not about 2% of your profit. For me, a corporate social responsibility is about four things. The first of them is giving a fair deal to your workers. And we are seeing right through the period of neoliberalism, formal employment is shrinking, decent work opportunities are shrinking, people are casualizing contract work.
Correct.
But even worse, so they're paying, a woman in a slum in Delhi is producing stuff, she's paid, literally, and you won't believe it, we've done studies, she's paid something like 40, 50 rupees for something that ultimately one big company, fashion company, will use. So I think that my first demand and expectation is really that they pay labor fairly according to the laws of the land. The second is that they don't poison the air and the water and so on. That's a corporate
Common resources.
Common resources. Thirdly is that they pay their taxes fairly and willingly, and they don't hide, they don't. And the fourth, which might come as a bit of a surprise, is that they must take a position on issues that matter in this country. You know, the kind of, you know, we're seeing India's passing through a very difficult period. You know, we're seeing many things happen. We've seen what has happened in Kashmir. The NRC is going to change the entire constitutional idea of India. We're seeing rising hate. We're seeing inequality, etc.
So you believe corporate
leaders,
companies should speak up on these
issues? Corporate
leaders
are so silent in all of this. They're either cheerleaders of the government or they're very. I believe. And after that, if you know, philanthropy is, and that I agree, is something that has to be voluntary. I greatly admire Azim Premji, Rohini, Nandan, many others who voluntarily give a great part of their wealth.
So you're saying the government should be spending its time, energy, its muscle on tracking, making sure companies are paying taxes, etc.
And paying labor.
Correct. There's a dichotomy in the concept of CSR that you may be paying low wages, but then you can, you know, fund a certain initiative,
be stealing the wages of workers, you can be destroying the environment, not paying your taxes, and doing CSR.
Okay, all right. Nitin Pai, in a sense, as Mr. Das says, that he doesn't agree with the concept of CSR, but he feels that there has been some positives come out of it and companies are doing more and more of CSR, which is making a difference. But in a sense, was the government not also forced to tighten this? Because a KPMG survey found that 52 of India's 100 largest companies failed to spend the required 2%, which was before it was mandatory. And many were, it seems, there were some reports of people who were cheating the system. They would give donations to charitable foundations, then return the monies minus the commission. So can the government really be blamed here?
Of course the governments have to be blamed. Both the UPA government, which started this boondoggle, and the NDA government, or the Modi government, which has worsened it, need to be blamed because they don't understand what corporate social responsibility is. I live in Bangalore. Around me, I have hundreds of companies creating jobs, improving livelihoods, and in fact, closing that inequality which you are talking about. The gap, the inequality in the city and around the city has been closing because of companies. So the corporate social responsibility is to operate in a law-abiding manner, create employment, create profits, and put money in the pockets of shareholders, and who the shareholders can then invest or give money to the causes which they want. And the way to get more people to give to charitable causes is to reduce taxes, to make compliance easy. So the more taxes you pay, if the government takes 30% of your money, I mean, I'm talking about an individual who's paying tax, the government takes 30 rupees of your money before you enjoy the remaining 70 rupees. If you have a salary of 100 rupees, the first 30 rupees goes to the government. It's called tax deduction at source. So we have a situation where the government has the first claim on everybody's money. How do you expect people to be giving money to charitable causes when the government has dried the whole pond? So I think the governments, both the UPA and the NDA, are at fault. The mindset is definitely socialist. It does not understand the beneficial uses of capitalism. It does not understand the roles that market play in national development. It does not understand the roles that capitalism and markets play in reducing inequality. No country has become rich. No country has solved its problems by charity alone. It is economic growth that has solved the problems. Where there are gaps, that is where charity comes in. And I can tell you that there are lots of people in the country who give to causes. They might give to temples, to churches, to mosques, and to local religious causes, but that is what they're doing. I think what we need to sensitize people is that you also must give to civic causes. You also must give to causes which are related in social development, etc., and you can actually do it in a legal and legitimate way.
But, the original, you're agreeing with Mr. Das, but the original idea, yes, we're paying taxes. The government is supposed to look into all of these shortfalls in our society, in our economy. using the money we pay in taxes. But the original idea of CSR was that then the company would have the freedom to decide where it's going to spend this money, and you would come up with these, you know, out-of-the-box ideas that the government is not able to do on its own because of bureaucracy, because of laws, because of all sorts of things. And so these companies would be able to, you know, shake things up and find new solutions to the age-old problems that India has been facing of, you know, poverty, inequality, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, see, look, there are two points here, right? One is, do you really need to mandate CSR in order for them to give money, right? Even before the CSR, the mandatory CSR law came, many companies were actually giving large sums of money to social development causes, maybe near their plant, near their factories, but also nationwide. The Tatas, for example, have a history of doing this for a while.
And many weren't also, which is what the KPMG study showed.
But that's their choice. That's their choice. If they feel that they shouldn't be giving, then that's their choice. It's their money. We have no claim on the money of other people. That's something which India must understand. We have no claim on the private money which belongs to other people. The nation does not have a claim, right? Now, here's the second part. Do you know how much the government spends on rural development, health, education, etc.? It runs into lakhs of crores. And do you know how much the entire CSR budget of all these companies put together goes? It's a few thousands of crores. That's why I gave you the example of a flea sitting at the back, on the back of an elephant. You know, the elephant is government expenditure, and CSR is the flea which is sitting on the back of the elephant. You know, the flea can't make the elephant go anywhere else. You know, it's the elephant which is driving everything, and the flea is not going to make any difference. So by mandating CSR in the way that it has, by dictating the kind of causes that qualify as CSR, the government has actually done a bad thing for other causes. Why don't we have world-class art galleries? Why don't we have world-class public spaces? Why don't we have world-class musical establishments? Why don't we have world-class research and development? These are the kind of causes which corporates could have given money to. But now, because of a ring-fenced basket of what qualifies as CSR and what does not, money is not going into the other causes.
That's an important point. But Madhuresh, you were also disagreeing with, I think, at the point where Mr. Pai said that this money doesn't belong to the people and the government cannot decide how companies should spend their money.
I think the point is, I very strongly disagree. And I think we have, there is one thing about corporate social responsibility. And if they are claiming that the corporations are creating jobs, they are doing n number of things, and they are a partner in nation development, then I think the nation development also include having responsibility what happens in the society. And some of the things which Hertz mentioned, that they ought to be doing this. They cannot just take away from the society. Let's talk, for example, I think there is an outrage about the CSR money. The corporations, Tuticorin happened in Tamil Nadu. There were police firing. 11 people, 13 people got killed. What for? They were protesting against the pollution, air pollution, water pollution, land pollution, everything. Vedanta in Odisha, in Lanjigarh, Niyamgiri, there are n number of examples in this country where corporations Singrauli, there are n number of examples. I can count them. I'm saying, and is there anyone saying that the corporations have done a bad job, and can we hold them accountable? There is no accountability. I deal with a number of members within the NAPM who are members who are fighting against many of these. There is zero conviction against Air Act, Water Act, and Environmental Pollution Act. Has right. Criminal provisions, but there is zero conviction of any factory manager who has gone to jail precisely because they have polluted land, water, forest. Zero conviction in this country. So the point is, if you claim immunity, that you are only earning profit, then you have to also be responsible respecting the laws. And the other thing is, in India, what we are talking about, the capitalism, and he says the problem with the socialism. I think it's not about socialism or capitalism. The way Indian capitalist development has taken place, we very well say crony capitalism. And crony capitalism is precisely the word because many of the corporations have taken money and they have not returned. Case in point, NPAs. NPAs in this country today are 10 lakh crore rupees,
correct,
of which 85% is of the corporations, not even like the small businesses or whatever. Second, every year in the budget, roughly 400,000 crore rupee gets written off as indirect taxes. So what are we talking about? Whose indirect taxes are being written off? 5.5 lakh crore.
So
I think there is
so
much you are taking away,
and
the data is
out.
10,000 crore rupee you spend on CSR, and there also you are claiming that we have a tough job, we shouldn't be doing this, we shouldn't be forced to do this.
Hmm.
The amount of money, resources you are taking from the society, India Inc. is completely spoiled.
Nenalal Kidwai, please come in over here. Does the government have a misplaced priority, or is it in its, does it have its heart in the right place? Because the fact is now at least companies will have to have an independent director of the CSR committee, which means it's at least in the boardroom now.
Well, we have had that guidance now in place for a while, that there will be a committee that oversees this, and that it, in fact, has a chair, which is an independent director. So what has really happened now is that the guidance has become much more a compliance. But, you know, hearing the discussion thus far, it's not as black and white as I think is positioned. I work a fair bit now in the so-called CSR spaces, and I think where we may be too narrow in the way we are looking at this and looking at just CSR, and for all the good reasons other panelists have pointed out, the focus around the world right now is on ESG, environment, social, and governance. And many of the panelists covered different aspects of this. So, for example, when I chair the water mission at FICCI, we look at water stewardship. And this does not get covered in CSR. But what is water stewardship? It is that I, as a company, must use water efficiently, must make sure that it is in full compliance with the circular economy and its principles, but equally, I'm responsible for the resources outside the fence. And let me tell you, a company doesn't necessarily do this because there's a CSR Act. Companies do this because they know they have to have the communities around their factories on site, because if they don't, factories have been known to be shut down because of problems and disturbances. So the issue is really around responsibility, social responsibility, environment responsibility, and we have to widen the responsibility of companies beyond doing CSR.
But how does one? How does one do that? How does one make someone want, or a company want to do this? But I think, Ms. Kidwai, what something very interesting. You're saying water does not get covered under CSR, and I'd like to come across what exactly does get covered under CSR. But before that, Mr. Dubey, has the government just gone too far this time around?
It's excellent move. Why it's excellent move? Because the people who have given their lands, who have contributed in the development of the country, they ultimately don't get anything. Their lands are acquired under the Land Acquisition Act. At the time, they are paid whatever the amount is fixed by the government, they paid. After that, industries makes money out of that, but they leave those people, despite that the agreement which is signed between the public and the government is that they will ensure that the good health is given, education is given, hospitals are given. And earlier, the discretion was given with the companies to spend the CSR amount. That discretion was not being utilized in a fair and reasonable manner. What company used to do? They used to make their own NGOs. SR made its SR Foundation, SR, and they used to held on conferences in Mumbai, Delhi, and they used to give certificates, self-made certificates to themselves that we are doing best in the environment. What you discuss Singrauli. Singrauli is a place where 1,000 crore of CSR is generated because it belongs in two districts. What has happened 3 days, 4 days back in the night of 6 August? Five children trapped inside the ash strike beach,
toxic
and thousands
ash.
Of metric ton fly ash is destroying the,
and the company
agricultural
blamed
crop.
The,
is standing
the laborers, the farmers who live
it
on those lands.
Gone in the house of the people. People don't have water, fresh water to drink. And it was the responsibility of the company, the SR or the other companies which are operating in the area, to ensure that people get free health, health, education, schools, and good environment. But in the meantime, none of the industries are closed. Those industries are still generating power and destroying the
area.
Agreed,
Mr. Dubey.
So meaning thereby, let me complete, meaning thereby this 2% which is generated, that will be utilized for the development of downtrodden people, people who have given their land, and penalizing it has
okay.
really
is
made it
is it
that
being
it
used for the development people, of the
area,
downtrodden people? In, speak for this government. Is this disingenuous of the government? Because they're saying if you fail to use this money, it will be put into a fund. It will be given to the
PM's
money fund.
Unspent money.
But it will go eventually.
Even the small industrialists who have 5 crores turnover of the profit, they will also contribute 2%,
okay.
which will ultimately come in the
Mr.
development
Dubey,
of the society.
You said this leads to the development of society. I have some statistics over here, very interesting, that show in 2016 there was only 46 crores that was spent on the conservation of national heritage category of CSR. Suddenly, surprisingly, in 2017 it jumped to 155 crores. And do we know why that is? That's because 5 PSUs, you know, oil and natural gas, ONGC, Bharat Petroleum, all of them gave their CSR money to the Statue of Unity, which is this government's pet project, which is, you know, it was inaugurated and unveiled by the Prime Minister. How is this leading to what you have just said, improvement of the lives of the underprivileged?
Let's talk about the amendment. Let's talk about the latest amendment. If we talk about the latest amendment in the Companies Act, it says the district magistrate of the area shall ensure that this amount is spent in the most large amount is spent in the areas which are where the industries are situated. What does it mean? And every industry shall be having a CSR department. What does it mean? Means if the industries fails to utilize that amount for that particular period, then the responsible company and officer shall be penalized. Then the penalty starts from 50,000 to 25 lakhs and 3 years regress imprisonment. What does it mean?
Mr. Dubey,
that everyone
you know,
having?
Okay, I just want to go ahead. Companies using CSR funds on gaushalas have peaked in 2017-2018. The Schedule 7 of the Companies Act says animal welfare activities is one of the categories on which you can spend CSR money. But suddenly, there's been a special focus on gaushalas and protection of cows. Child mortality got no funding. Somehow, no companies are focused on that. Eradicating hunger and poverty got 6% of total CSR expenditure. Our company is not going to just... We've forgotten the idea behind this, and we want to gain brownie points with this
Sarah,
government.
It's very early to comment on a law which has been recently given a nod by the parliament. It's a 2019 amendment. So we have to look into, because we are discussing the law which has been recently passed by the parliament. So if we discuss this issue later, then only we can discuss the pros and cons. But it's a great endeavor by the government, and the larger interest of the public, and it's a noble initiative. And I think it will be spent for the improvement of the people who have given their lands in the development of the nation.
Pushpa Sundar, this is a great idea, or it's, been hijacked by political interference?
Well, let me say at the outset that I'm in favor of corporate social responsibility. But having said that, I mean, I don't agree that a company's only responsibility is to its shareholders, because the company makes profit only because of the health of the society in which it is located, economic and otherwise. It draws its labor from there, it draws its consumers from there, etc. So I think they owe something to the society in which they are located and to give back. But having said that, I think it's a 360-degree concept, and I disagree with the way it has been interpreted by the Companies Act, by government. Government has focused on a very limited aspect of CSR. They have interpreted it only as financial allocation. The responsibility aspect or the good behavior of a company has been totally lost sight of. It has been pointed out by several people over here that there have been many companies have been very, very irresponsible towards society. For example, companies use up almost 70% of the water in the society for their products. I believe to produce one item of denim, it takes about 1 lakh liter of water. Now, if companies were to treat, recycle, and replenish the water sources, that would be a far more valuable contribution than this 2% that we are talking about. Secondly, just to give a second example, in Chhattisgarh, land, not only have lands been taken away from Adivasis, but you know the trucks of the mining companies, they are digging up already very, very few roads exist in Chhattisgarh tribal areas. And these trucks going back and forth are digging up the roads and making traffic impossible for the local. Another fact is, many of the wastewater, etc., is discharged over the fields. And their lives are ruined, their crops are ruined, but they get no compensation.
Sure.
So I feel where the flaw really lies in the Companies Act is in treating the CSR as an activity and not a some kind of, you know, good governance or good behavior. And
so those who
just giving
CSR
contributing 2%
will not.
Now, as you mentioned, and I think you were quoting from something that I wrote, increasingly, CSR funds are being used by government for its political purposes, like the Statue of Unity. By no stretch of imagination, and even the CAG had pointed it out, that this cannot be considered as proper spending under the heritage provision. Again, they have spent on goshalas. Now, animal welfare is a proper activity under Schedule 7, but not the way the amounts have been spent by, and this is largely PSUs, and also some companies have been, I suppose, pressurized to give to all the programs and goals approved by the present regime. So I think the fundamental flaw is in treating
it. So companies
it.
Now are no longer thinking out of the box, coming up with unique solutions to problems.
Absolutely.
They're saying,
this
is the law, it's mandated, let's do whatever, let's tick the boxes when we can. If this is a government, Swachh Bharat or whatever it is,
and there is no guarantee.
The
new amendment says that the unspent amount will be put into various funds, like the Prime Minister's Relief Fund and some of the other funds that they have mentioned. There's no guarantee that it will be spent more creatively, with more accountability, etc. There has never been any public disclosure of what these funds are being used for.
No, so that's so why the government has tightened them, made these amendments. There has,
yes, this amendment is not correct.
Public.
And also, how many people will you send to jail? Typically, a CSR, CSR is implemented in a company by numbers of people at different levels.
And how will you fix accountability?
How are you going to fix accountability and the lowest person will go to jail and the others will not be affected?
Of course, which is always normally the case. Rohini, come in here. You've heard all of our panelists' views now, and also expand a little bit on what you said, that companies, and we've seen this, studies have shown that companies who didn't spend their CSR money, they said they didn't know where they could spend it, and there weren't enough avenues. You need an ecosystem. Nonprofits can't take in that kind of capital. And initially, the law was that companies had to show that they have spent this money fruitfully within a year. Now it's 3 years. But is there a problem? And Harsh can maybe come in here after this, that we need streamlining structures, we need proper execution, and the social sector capacity, first of all, needs to be built up.
Well, it's a social sector capacity and also matter of trust. Okay, so it's not like the companies necessarily trust our civil sector entities. So there's a lot of work to be done to build trust between these two, and then to build the capacity of social sector organizations to receive that kind of capital and spend it well. But anyway, this is a tax by other means, right? The CSR law, it's a tax by other means. And I wouldn't be surprised if companies say, why don't I just give it to the Prime Minister's Relief Fund and, like you said, tick the boxes and not try to innovate across societal problems. One interesting thought has occurred to me, that if you are going to do this 2% cess, why don't you say that over 5 years, you people can use this 2% to clean up your act inside the fence, to improve the way you treat labor, to improve your management of natural resources inside and outside, to improve the way you deal with water, improve the way you deal with what effluents you put out in your whole supply chain, use that 2%, otherwise government will tax it. Let's give you 5 years. It will also help comply with SDG goals, etc. Maybe look creatively at this, and definitely don't criminalize people, because as Pushpa and others were pointing out, you will definitely be catching the wrong people. It's very hard to fix that accountability. And putting that much power again in the hand of the state, so much power is being accumulated by the state. That's not what makes for successful societies, not for successful flourishing businesses either. So that's what I believe.
So for business to succeed, and this government says we're heading, or we are going to be a $5 trillion economy. Naina Lal Kidwai, Azim Premji, probably India's biggest philanthropist, he had also said 2% on CSR is a lot, especially for companies who are trying to scale up in these difficult times.
Well, you know, there are also companies that spend more than 2% and have been spending 2% well before these rules came into place. So it varies. But the minute you look at the wider definition, as I had indicated earlier and other panelists are suggesting, in fact, that 2% is well achieved if we can indeed encourage the ESG principles of it being environmentally right, socially right, and governance right. And I would actually say the focus of government should be on investing. The biggest investors in the market are organizations like LIC, GIC, government-owned bodies. There is, in fact, merit in even looking at the way mutual funds invest. And if the principles of ESG begin to be the drivers of where financial institutions put their money, and by the way, this is happening abroad, then companies that don't abide by the right principles of ESG don't get money. And they don't get money which doesn't help their share price up, because we're talking really about listed companies where these norms have been applied. So rather than a whip, which is very narrow in definition and also tough for compliance, let us look at driving funding in a way that government itself can look at the way that investing happens. And believe me, that will bring change faster and quicker, because companies will be vying to demonstrate that they are responsible, socially responsible, that they're ticking the boxes in terms of communities that they serve around them, and factories will look to do the right thing, whether to do with environment or indeed community activities around the factory, and of course, right behavior within the factory. So there may be other ways of achieving what we want to achieve and doing it in a more creative way.
All right. So other ways we can do this, focus more on using these funds on investment, says Naina Lal Kidwai. Nitin Pai, if you can come in here, because I know all of you are joining us on links, will you respond to our panelists who've pointed out a flaw, basic flaw, in the idea that companies aren't responsible to the people because they're using resources that affect each and every one of us. Like a company making jeans uses up much more water to create one product, and we're all in various states facing a shortage of water.
Well, nobody has an argument which says that the company should not follow the law. We are not talking about companies that do illegal things. Compliance with the laws and regulations is mandatory. It's not optional. And I disagree with Rohini. We shouldn't be giving 2% of leeway to companies to comply. They must comply. That is their legal requirement. As far as using resources concerns, do you know that corporations pay huge amounts of money, much more than what consumers pay for the resources that they use, whether it's electricity, water, and real estate? So we are actually talking about companies actually cross-subsidizing individuals. Let's understand this.
Okay? Is it not still less than it is abroad?
Well, we are not living abroad. We are living in India, right? You can't have New York fashions at Indian levels of income. You can't have Scandinavian fashions at Indian levels of income. We need companies to grow. We need them to scale. We need to create lots of jobs and wealth for the economy. But let me just take a step back and say this, right? How we grow as a nation is when there is a balance between the government, the markets, and society. And Rohini has been talking about it before. I'm probably stealing her thunder. But really, government's job is to provide basic services, across the board in a uniform, non-discriminatory manner. This includes healthcare, it's primary education, and so on. The role of a corporation is to generate profits and wealth for the economy in a law-abiding, sustainable, ethical manner. The role of the individual is to close the gaps which the government and the markets cannot, right? This includes private charity, philanthropy, and so on. We should strive to have a balance. What this mandatory CSR has done is it's totally distorted that balance. It's making the corporations do what the government ought to do. I think Mr. Dubey said that there should be penalties for companies that don't do their job. Are there penalties for government employees that don't complete their jobs properly? Are there penalties for ministers who don't spend their funds properly? I mean, we are spending 5,000 crores a year on Air India. We are wasting money on Air India. We have hundreds of PSUs which are wasting money. Taxpayers' monies are going into funding these loss-making enterprises. And then we are saying, hey, why don't you pay some more money in CSR so that we can do the necessary thing? In fact, the first charge of the government budget should be on these essential items. And then whatever is left, you know, you could probably do CSR to support Air India, I guess, or some loss-making PSUs. But literally, the government's money should go into these things first, and whatever is left over is for Air India. Instead, okay. We spend money on all sorts of useless and wasteful things, and then ask taxpayers and corporations to make up the deficit.
Let me just clarify. I do believe that a company has more than one stakeholder, which is the shareholder. It has employees, it has responsibility to its employees, it has other suppliers, it has many other stakeholders. So the idea should not be that there's only one stakeholder. Secondly, while I believe very firmly that the purpose of a corporation is to create its own products and do its own job, and in the process of creating products, doing its job, it creates employment and taxes which make the government possible, government spending possible. Now, why I have got converted to CSR, I want to just tell you, is that it goes against my conviction. But I've got converted because I've met I'm on a number of boards.
Yes.
And I've seen people spend the money.
Yes.
And also, a lot of the funding that the causes I'm interested in, the money is coming from CSR. What I'm now convinced is that actually companies are doing a far better job of spending their money. They're treating it not like taxes, you know, or the way the government. In fact, the same projects that the companies are doing versus the projects that the government is doing is being far more efficiently being done.
Okay,
there's a greater passion. Many companies have their employees involved.
That was the original idea behind it.
And so, the mistake we are making on this panel is that the people who hate business and capitalism are the ones who think everyone's a crook. And the people who are capitalists or people who believe in the market outcomes think that the government is bad. So let's not tar everybody with the same brush. The reality is a lot of companies are doing excellent work in CSR.
Okay.
And its compliance is growing.
Harsh Mandar, closing arguments, just give your response. And also quickly, we do want to try and end. This is now a law. How can businesses do good through CSR? Yeah.
So firstly, I just wanted to say to Mr. Pai, you know, India has one of the lowest tax to GDP ratios in the world.
Correct.
You know, Oxfam has calculated
17% to 18%. The US is, I think, 35%, and Europe around 45%.
Absolutely. So it's absolutely wrong to say, and much of our taxation is indirect taxes, which is taxes on the poor, and not on the super rich. A 1.5% tax on the wealth of dollar billionaires is enough to send every child to school, etc. The increase in the wealth, just the increase in the wealth of the top 1% in India in 2017 was larger than the union budget. There's a huge amount of wealth that we have to tax to ensure healthcare and education. We've done that too long. And as far as, and the last point is that I don't want philanthropy to be supervised by the state. I mean, just one example, independent media like The Wire is being supported by some philanthropists. and they're under a lot of pressure. So true philanthropy has to be not
separate
supervised by
government.
The state.
Yes.
And land acquisition, Mr. Dubey talked about, implement the Land Acquisition Act. You don't need CSR.
Yes.
All of this, make sure that the laws of the land...
Labor laws,
land acquisition laws, environmental laws are implemented. Taxes are paid and paid better. And let philanthropy be something between public-minded people of wealth and society.
Voluntary.
Last word, ma'am.
As I said, right from the time when the 2013 Act was passed, I felt that this was a corporate tax by another name.
Yes.
And increasingly, it's beginning to look as if it is a tax, especially because of the criminalization of the spending. Having said that, I felt that after the passing of the Act, let's just take a little balanced view of the whole thing. After the passing of the Act, many smaller companies which would never have thought of contributing for social responsibility kinds of activities did start giving something. Not only that,
so you did need a little push, you're saying?
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
But it did not need to be made compulsory.
Absolutely. I think that's one thing everyone's agreed on. But as Mr. Das says, our panelists have such divergent views. But this is We the People, where we believe it's important to speak up, but also important to listen. So thank you for joining us tonight on this issue, what we think is a crucial issue. Thanks so much. Good night.